It is a wonderful time of the year. We got a few things we want to do today. We are going to have communion, but it's going to be at the end of the service. But we got a few people we'd like to recognize this morning as well. I'm going to bless the tithe and offering, but we would like to do a few of those things. And how did you like that little bundle of joy? The other morning when I got to hold her, I told Brenda, I said, I picked her up and she kind of smiled. And I said, it was probably gas, but I'm going to take that as she was smiling at me. But when we'd handed her around to everybody, I got to hold her one last time. And when I went to put her down, she started to cry. So I pulled her up and she stopped. So she is already beginning to wrap herself around that pinky. However, Mama took her, and she was good to go with Mama. So, praise God. Let's bless the... Yep. Got to get mine in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this season. Lord, for what it represents to us as Christians, but Father, what it should represent to the entire world. Lord, may we realize that Christmas is not a seasonal thing, but it is a celebration of your love for mankind that goes on throughout the year. Now, Father, we thank you and we praise you for the many blessings you brought into our lives. And we present to you today, Lord, our tithes and our offerings. Father, we call them blessed. We stand on your word knowing that you have said you would pour out blessings, Father. You'd rebuke the devourer. You would bring things about in our lives. And Father, we stand on your word and on your promises knowing they are true. Now, Father, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated for just a moment. I would like all of the directors to come forward. If you will just go, you know who you are. Come on. If you make a list, you are a director. Yeah, Rob. Yeah, Tim. There's a few of you that just got new into it. I get it. Where's Miss Brenda? You know what? While I'm here, Miss Vicky. I'll just go right down this list. We like to do this to recognize the work that these fine individuals have done and the sacrifices that they make. Bob and Karen, y'all need to come up. Because I have one more, and it's got your name on it. But we just a token to say thank you for what you do. Like this ministry is not us. It's us. It's all of us. It's everybody who does anything. You look at y'all may have to lay hands on me. You look at what's up here now. There's no way we could do all of it. No human way possible. It's because of them. It's because they take on these roles and they start doing things. And I'm looking down through here and there's not one person I see who needs something else to do. Nobody's that bored. But they do it as unto God. And, you know, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate what you guys do. The things you do behind the scenes, the little things that we don't even think of. And, you know, it gets done. It does get noticed. Let me just tell you, it does get noticed. We may not say something all the time, but things do get noticed. So we just wanted to say thank you. Merry Christmas. And, well, hey. Oh, yeah, she's got something else. I'm glad she said something. See, she does the gifts.
I heard this guy interview, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember what his name is right off the bat.
We have one missing.
I heard him interview Newstar several months back, actually, and just a neat, neat man, and has quite a story, background, and so forth. And of course, they, you know, shared what his book was, and I believe it's called I'm Number 8. And he shares about how he can see how God, you know, has worked in his life very similarly as God worked in King David's life. You know, King David was kind of forgot about in the pasture, you know, with the sheep. The prophet was coming to anoint a king, and Jesse, the father, didn't even think to call him in until the prophet said, it's none of these guys. And he said, oh, well, there is one more. And, you know, Pastor Art and I have felt that we're very much that way. We want to just serve God and love God and do what he wanted us to do. But we didn't know how he was going to do anything through us. But God knew. And I know the people here have hearts. They just love God. And they just want to do his will and his purpose. And I know all of you are the same. But they have been promoted in places of responsibility and in leadership because they've been so faithful in the everyday taking care of sheep things. And what they do for this ministry is so powerful. Maybe even sometimes they feel like in their ministry, things that they're doing are just, well, you know, it just needs to be done. You're right. It's everything has to get done somehow. And that's how he gets it done, is through us, through his people. And I hope that you will enjoy that book. Maybe it'll speak to you and you'll say, oh my gosh, this feels like my story. But maybe it won't necessarily feel like your story, but maybe you'll know someone that will get a lot out of it. So I'm asking you, after you read it, I mean, it is your gift. You do with it as you will. You may want to read it a couple times first, but really pray and ask God. Maybe there's someone within your ministry here at the church that you feel like you'd like to bless it with and have them read it. It could be a family member, natural family member, whatever. But I just feel like that message needs to be put out there because sometimes we feel like we're trapped in the ordinary, but he's preparing us for the great things he has in store. So enjoy this book. We love you. We do appreciate every single thing that you do. And Pastor Art is right. It would be us and our boys. It would be the church if we had to do it all, because we can't. We can't. We don't have the talents. We don't have the gifts. We don't have the anointing. But God sent us you. Thank you.
Now, I've asked Matt and Michelle to stay. They came to us a couple weeks ago and wanted to talk to us. You know, these times are all, you know, lives change, right? Well, their life is about to change. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. You know, we get to do crappy things sometimes. And, you know, we have to stand. You know, y'all remember, God told me to pull these two young ladies up. Doesn't mean your time's not coming. You've got to stand. And when they told us, oh, I couldn't tell you. I'm so excited for them. Almost as excited when we found out we were having another one through our children. This weekend. Through this weekend, I have figured out why God gives us children when we're young.
Oh.
And grandchildren when we're old. I love him. I'm going to be glad when his mommy and daddy are home today. He is busy. He climbs. But it's a thrill to be able to have that and show that's what faith does. That's what faith does. You've got to stand. Against all odds, you continue to stand. So no matter what's going on in your life, you've got to stand. Oppose it. And fight. Amen? All right, praise God. Well, super kids are dismissed now. And for those of you teachers, I will not promise it's going to be a long message. God is good all the time, folks. He doesn't pick and choose when he wants to be good. He is good. You know, as I was, I told you last week I was going to put pause on the message we've been on, which is love. And today is not in the same realm as the message I've been working on. But it's still about love. Amen. It's got to be. I'm going to talk to you today about a little bit about God. So, you know, I was like, God, you know, it's the last service we have before we celebrate Christmas. You know, usually people do big passion plays and they have the kids come up dressed as sheep and goats and Mary and yeah, sheep and goats. It's kind of just a reflection on the flock, I guess. We'd have all sheep in ours. But, you know, we would do that. And, you know, there's times we do things that are kind of traditional, kind of expected. But if y'all been around here for a minute, you know that don't bank on it being what you expected. Sometimes there's excitement. Sometimes it's not as exciting for you. I don't know. There's plenty of plays going on, I can promise you that. Plenty of school concerts and stuff like that. But as I was asking the Lord, what message should I bring forth? You know, I remember my very first Christmas message was actually an Easter message. And then my Easter message was a Christmas message. Go figure, right? And, you know, God just started, I was like, Lord, I need direction on what you want and how to go about this. And he started just bringing things into my heart and my mind, reminding me of things. I can't remember the name of the group. I'm going to get their name wrong because I honestly did not care for the song when it first came out, but it is really a beautiful song. It's called More Than Words. I don't think it's REM, but it was back in the day. And the song is talking about it's more than words. Love. Love is more than words. Nowhere in your Bible will you find where God says, I love you. Nowhere in the Bible will you find where it says that anybody said, I love you. Because it's more than words. We know what words are today, right? Cheap. I mean, seriously, look. We have politicians talking out both sides of their face right now. They want it one way, but then they want this, and then they want that. But God has never said, I love you. Every time God has said, or God has loved us, he gave us himself. In the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to use just this phrase just so that we understand where I'm going. God loved us. God said, I love you. Okay? That's the phrase I'm going to use. The first time God said, I love you, he breathed life. His very breath. See, we know in John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus says, no greater love has any man that he would lay down or give his life for his friends. We know that. What does the Bible call that life that he did? He breathed the breath of life into us. He gave us life the first time he said, I love you. Man quickly responded in saying, right? Yeah. Fast forward a couple thousand years, several. God said, I love you one more time. And the Holy Spirit came upon a woman, a young girl by our standards, and infused into her the ultimate gift of life that we know as Jesus Christ. The angel told her she would be blessed of all women. And even when she sang her song, she said that I will be blessed by all the world for what this is. And she was and is. To be envied is what the word blessed means. I want to be you. You know, back in the 80s, we had I like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Everybody wanted to be Michael Jordan, right? Yeah, I gave up my hopes on that. I could get the rim, but that was it. Couldn't keep the ball in my hand. But everybody wanted to be like Mike. See, God looked down on the earth at that time, and there was one woman he chose because of the attributes of her heart. We don't know her family lineage, per se. We don't know what her life was like. I mean, her father was going to have her stoned. But God said, I love you, and he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus, at that very same supper, after he said that no man knows, or no man, or no greater love, let me get back on track, no greater love has any man than he laid down his life for his friends. And he said, I now call you my friends. And he said, but if you love me, see, we tell Jesus, we come to church and we think that worship is coming to church and lifting our hands, oh Lord Jesus, I love you. That's a great expression. But that's not what he said, is it? I know I'm going to step on a lot of toes today. But he never said, come to church and raise your hands and sing songs to me. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Love one another. I've been teaching you on love, what love is. I've been getting nitty gritty. I've gotten as nitty gritty as I have ever found any message on love. Because, see, what we think love is la, 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 right? That's what we picture when we see love. We don't see love as being willing to do harm. Do we? No, we don't. But you see, every time I see a patriotic post, I see John 15, 13, no greater love. And it'll have a soldier, a warrior, somebody willing to do harm to protect you. Jesus Christ came as God's expression of love to mankind to do harm to the kingdom of hell on your behalf. Now, you know, as a father, I get some of this. And it's hard sometimes to, you know, our kids, you know, if we want to raise men and young women, right? Sometimes they got to know how to roll with the punches. They got to know how to deal with things. But we hate when they have to do it. We got to jump right in there and get it. See, Mothers of America, they're a group that go around to the military bases and they say, be good to my boy. Be nice. You can't yell at my boy like that. You can't call him names. You can't slap him. Ask any POW if you get slapped. They would beg to be just slapped. But as I've watched my children grow, the hardest thing has been to let them do this stuff. But they've got to, because I'm raising men, not little boys. I'm raising protectors. And when Jesus gave us his life, he said, I can't love you any greater. But I'm going to go and I'm going to do harm on your behalf. The disciples, they sorrowed. Sorrow filled their heart. They were lost. They were dazed, confused. They didn't know what was going on. But yet, 3 days later, they proved they still didn't know what was going on. Jesus rose. Another expression of God's love. Him saying, I love you. I raised my son up. I gave my son my life. I gave it back for you. If Jesus had remained in the ground, what's the point in celebrating his birth? He was just another prophet. But he didn't. He rose from that grave, victorious. He rose so that you and I could have this life, a life of victory. Not only just of sin, but a way, you know, so many people want us to go back to the law and they want us to start embracing any aspect of the law. The law was a shackle to sin. It kept us enchained to it. We couldn't get free from it. That freedom that unlocked us from that shackle was bought by the blood of Christ. So that we didn't have to remain stuck. Our founding fathers felt the exact same way with King George. They refused to be stuck under his tyranny, under his control, knowing they could never breathe freedom. Today, so many people just want to flush our freedom. It was bought by blood. Those men and women throughout the years, through the last 243 years, men and women have died as an expression of their love. I'd like to think that when my great-great-great-great-whatever-great-grandfather, when he fought in the Revolutionary War, that he was thinking, just so my children can be free. I praise God he lived. Fought in the Indian War too, and lived. Because I don't know exactly when my great other, when his son, who was one of my grandfathers, was born. So I might not have been here. But I'm grateful for what he did. I'm grateful for what all those men and women have done. And I'm grateful for what Jesus Christ did. God saying, I love you. I believe there's a song we didn't put him on that cross. I refuse, absolutely refuse to belittle what he did, saying that I put him there. I didn't. He put himself there. He willingly did it. He willingly did what needed to be done. You know, in World War II, there were droves of men who volunteered to serve their country. They were not going to let somebody get away with that. Let me tell you how deep that ran. There were teenage boys. They were literally boys, 14 years old, volunteering. Some of them made it through. We've got 18-year-olds that have to have special places. Your words hurt me. Yeah, words hurt. Anybody that says they don't's a liar and a moron. And I hope they take that to heart. But words hurt. But let's remember, ladies and gentlemen, they are words. They're not what your Heavenly Father thinks of you. No matter who said something to you, your Heavenly Father said, I love you, and gave you life. He gave you the breath of life. He gave you Jesus Christ, eternal life. He gave you a way to be free from those hurtful words. Those men volunteered, and then they made a draft, and they kept the draft going. You didn't have a choice until finally we got to the Vietnam era, and then what happened? People didn't understand why we were fighting. People refused. They protested. People left the country. They did away with the draft. And we now have the mightiest army on the planet because they volunteer. They do it for a different reason. The military's not for everybody. I'll tell you that. Keith will tell you that. Pat and Harold, they'll tell you that. It's not for everybody. But bless God that those people have stood up and they did what they did. Bless God that Jesus Christ, as he sat there and they passed the elements of what we would call communion, he said, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you. We didn't really understand that. Nobody understand. Jesus said something like earlier, unless you drink of my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. He lost half his church. They went, see ya. Actually, I think it was more than half. He had 70 and went down to 12. That's a pretty big drop. Because they weren't understanding what he was talking about. This is my body. It's broken. And this is my blood. It will be poured out as a ratification of a new covenant, of a new promise that we could have eternal life in him. Every time a drop of blood is shed in the name of this country by one of our patriots, that Constitution gets stronger. It gets ratified again. It becomes even stronger. So how much more every time we celebrate the communion, the body of Christ, should it be in our hearts? He took the stripes for my healing. Ladies and gentlemen, not only just your body. I can look around. There's a few of us. We got a few things going on. But what about the things I can't see? The emotional scars. You still think of it. People think, well, you're in unforgiveness because you remember it. No. It left a mark. I can point out scars all over my body, and I can tell you exactly how I got them and where I was when I got them. There might be a few I don't know. I'm not going to lie. But he took the beating for your emotional healing too. All those words, he took that so that you could be healed and freed of them. And that's where his blood came in. When his blood was poured out, washed in the blood, our souls, our spirit is free from that sin. It was coated. The last several weeks, I have been watching Law and Order. And I can tell you what punishment somebody's going to get as soon as they start talking about how much time. Well, they're going to get this, this, and this, and they're going to get a fine, or they're going to walk, or whatever. I've just always kind of liked the police shows like that. But one thing that's on there is people are constantly trying to get evidence dismissed. Things that proved they sinned. See, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us there's a day we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. But here's what we got to remember. It's when we stand before the judgment seat of God, the devil, the prosecutor, is over there and he says, by the law, I have Keith. I have evidence that Keith did this on this date. Now your defense attorney, Jesus Christ, he's going to say, I object. That evidence has been covered by my blood. I ratified that law. I changed it. He received me. See, ladies and gentlemen, God has never actually said, I love you. He has always showed it. We as mere human beings, we need to hear that from time to time. But more than anything, we need to see it. Love is more than words. Because you can say, I love you, and walk away. But you can't give of your life and do it that easy. See, I know many of you in here have experienced the pain of a divorce. That's why God hates it. Because when you came together as a husband and a wife, you became one. You gave of yourselves. This is why the term making love is used. Sex doesn't require love. We figured that out, right? It does not require love. But when you, as a husband and wife, come together, you have given of yourselves. And a part of you just left, is what happened. See, there's a marriage supper. There's a wedding about to happen. We are about to be joined with the bridegroom who gave himself for us. Don't ever think that God is not paying attention to what's going on in your life. He's watching. And he's waiting. As I said earlier, folks, watching my own boys, and there's times you can ask my wife, See, I got a choke collar you just can't see. And I just want to rip things apart. I'd move heaven and earth for my children. I don't care about myself, but them I do. How much more is God? Well, God, you see what I'm going through. First off, folks, are you listening to him? You've got to do what he says to do. You can't do this on your own. You can think you can, but you're just going to be just like all the other people, sitting around blaming everybody else for their problems. I'm just like you. I had reasons why I did what I did. But in the end, I did them. Nobody else. Pat didn't do it. I did it. Pat did his own things. Caleb did his own things. Keith did his own things. We did our own things, our own reasons. But when we do what God is saying to do, folks, we have to understand that there's a heavenly Father who loves us so much. There's a day coming that everything on this planet is going to tremble. The only people who won't be trembling in fear are his children, are the ones covered in his blood. Seeing it all started with a little dust. And then a barn. We want big fancy things. We want to build great monuments to Jesus. You know, the largest, I think it's the largest, it has to be, is Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro. Rio is one of the most godless places on the planet. They don't know what Jesus did. They hold on to tradition that says, I'll go say so many things and they'll absolve me of my sins. Folks, sin starts in our heart. What I've already done is done, right? Can't be taken back. But sin's still here if we've never received Jesus, if we've never fought to get away, to be free. And all he's asking us to do is to fight, to do our part. So as we celebrate, there's so many traditions that I've been reading about, hearing about. I heard one the other day about the Christmas tree, how it was alive, it was cut down, boom, now it was Jesus Christ, down, dead, buried, and then resurrected and in glory. Could be true. I don't know. I mean, why else would we do it? They look cool. They're pretty all lit up in the corner of our room. It looks great there in the hallway. Kind of an obstacle, though. Right? Why do we do all that stuff? Well, let's just be honest. We decorate our houses with lights because of the Festival of Lights. We give gifts because of other festivals. It's all been brought out of the Jewish traditions into one. Fine, I don't care. It has nothing to do with my serving Jesus Christ. I want to bless my children. I want to bless my wife, my family. But the greatest blessing I could ever give them is to make sure they know who Jesus Christ is. It's all about Jesus. You know, if we went around, I'd say, what does Christmas mean to you? Angela said, family. What else? There's different things. Well, I'm away from my family and I can't. I spent a Christmas on a beach with a bunch of other people away from their families. Who's my family? Who's my brother? Who's my neighbor, Lord? Who's my neighbor? And he said, the one you're with. You guys understand this, who's your family stuff when you're deployed? Who's your family? Those guys right there. Who's your family? Oh, all of us got family around here, right? Just about. But really, who's your family? Look right here. See, we came together today to celebrate. Yeah, you can look. Now, I was just going to tell you, you know, everybody's got that. Maybe one, some of you may be blessed to have more family members than this that are like this. But everybody's got that one special family member. Now, if you don't know who it is, might be you. Just saying. But this season, may we always remember that love gives. Love always gives, and it gives life. Every time God has ever said to us, I love you, again, not words, mere expression. He gave us life. Every time. See, they don't say that the law is of God, do they? Who's the law of Phil? Do you remember? Who do they always say the law of? Moses? It was Moses' law. It wasn't God's law. It was always Moses's. It was man's. It was always attributed to a man. But God, we know in the New Testament now, is love. Love is of God, for God is love. And whosoever who loves is born of God. Let that be your reason for the season. It's God's love. And don't let it just stop here. I've oftentimes wondered, why is it only at Christmas time we want to help the poor? People are hungry year-round. Well, it's spring. We just don't think about it. We got our own things going. Bingo. Wintertime, you know, yeah, this season is busy, but don't things generally slow down just a little bit for about everybody? You know, it really does. Things start slowing down a little. If you work outside, work slows down. Which ultimately does, believe it or not, affect the guys that work inside. Overall, factories slowed down in this winter, and they work you like a dog in the summer. Overtime out the wazoo. But people are hungry year-round. People are hurting year-round. Remember that. Remember that when you're, God, what do you want me to do? What should I do? Well, you know, it might be February and God says, I want you to help this family. Well, God, it's not Christmas. What's that got to do with anything? I was in the store the other day and the price of ham, I mean, these huge hams, like this big, big old hams, they had been $56, were $19. Why? Why just this time of the year? Why just this time? There's people hungry all the time. Well, there you go. God wants us to be paying attention all the time. How we can give the gift of life to other people. Words of encouragement to people you may not know. Trust me, people wear their emotions on their lapel more than you know. Walking through the store. Just looking. Just saying. I believe it was Mercy Me did that song called The Season of Love for him. I knew it was the wrong group. It's a season of love, but folks, it's a season that doesn't go away. It's not just December. Not, we shouldn't be just grateful in November, right? That's the most ludicrous thing I can ever think of. So we're going to, Tim, if you'll let the teachers know, we're going to receive our communion today. You know, you can do communion at home. Do you know you don't have to have grape juice and actual bread? I've never done cookies, but I have done crackers. Water. It's a representation, is what it is. But you do it. When you do it, you sit down and you remind yourself, Lord God, you were broken for my healing, for my freedoms, so that I could be set free. Your blood was poured out so that this law would be ratified. It would be changed forever. We must always remember what God has done. I don't want mommy. All right, so now just a quick reminder, start over here, and then Cheryl, you'll have to lead because there's kind of an opening right here. Got a few people out of state. Either that or they didn't want spit on. I am kind of voluminous today in that. But we'll start there, and then Cheryl lead the way, and then Rob, we'll lead from that way, from the rear. That way we can just keep going around in one big circle. And while we're going to do this, Miss Carsey is going to bless us with some beautiful violin music. And I love that blood red violin. So if you'll all stand, let me get out of the road. Patrick, if you'll lead the way, sir. Good. Beautiful. Thank you. You know, Jesus said, when he told his disciples, he said, I have looked forward to having this meal with you. I don't think it was just the actual meal of Passover, but it was this meal that he could share of himself with us. He said, this is my body. And he broke it and he handed it out to his disciples. Partake. Then he picked up the wine and he said, this represents my blood. It'll be poured out for a new covenant, something new. Let's partake. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the body of Christ and for the blood of Christ, that his body was broken, it was bruised. Father, that he took the price for our healing on his body. Father, for that blood that was poured out for the remission of all sins. Father, that it canceled a debt that we could never pay. Father, we thank you for that. Lord God, we receive everything that Jesus Christ paid for. And Father, by obeying your commandments, we say back to you, I love you. Amen. I'm going to bless you. I know many of you have things to go do, and I have a granddaughter to go snuggle with. Carter has a sister to meet. So I'll pray and bless. They're collecting the cups so that way you don't have to try to get to a trash can before you get to your car and realize you carried your communion cup all the way to your car. But you know, I was just thinking as Carsey was playing there, and Angela saw a thing the other day on the internet that said, I've oftentimes wondered how a mother could let her child go outside and practice the drums outside until I got a child in band. And you know what? It's the truth. But boy, when they master it, it's beautiful. And so worth what you had. You know, my boys, the drums, the guitar, the piano. I'm hearing tink, 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 tink. But now they go out and play. I just like to sit and listen to it. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. And enjoy the time with your families. You know, Love them. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord God, we thank you for all the many things you've done in our lives just this year. But Father, the primary thing we thank you for is for Jesus Christ. Father, we've come today to gather together to not only strengthen our faith, but in honor of you sending Jesus to be born in a manger of humble people and humble beginnings, to raise him up as the Lord of all things. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. I bless them right now, Father God. I pray that as they go about, Father, that your love will continue to overflow in their hearts. Father, they will reach out and they will bless others. They will love others even more now. In Jesus' name, amen.